but in order to do a pool was Franco. And we have a new member now. He's not here. So, and we have one youth in government, Mr. Miles is not here yet, or is he?
No, he's excused, or not, he's not going to make it. He's got a contract.
All right, he never called, so.
No, he texted me.
Okay. So, he's excused then.
He's got a football game.
Okay. We'll call the meeting in order. That's the roll call. Carnelli, I'm not sure what the situation is. So, I'm going to move on to the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. If people have seen, read, approved or disapproved, if I could get a motion.
Move to approve. Second.
Supervisor.
For a second.
Supervisor Oregon. Motion, seconded by Supervisor Poole, to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. All those in favor, view the governance. Committee?
Aye.
Yes. Okay. Chairman of committee, wait a minute, Supervisor. I have a couple things. I wrote Kemper down first here because I was in there on Saturday. But actually, before I was at Kemper, I was at Oktoberfest at Paddock Lake. I didn't see any of you there, but I'm sure maybe a couple of you were there later today. Really want to congratulate again our Parks Department, Matt, the work that they do on this. You know, we kind of inherited a lot of this. John Rudy was involved early on. Heidi from the bakery, the people in Paddock Lake kind of started this. But now it's solely on our shoulders as far as the setup, our parks people, the time involved. I was there Saturday, and we go for the, everybody watches the wiener dog races and things. And the crowd was amazing at that point. So I also had a wedding anniversary this weekend, and I was married at the Kemper Center. So we were headed into the House of Girard and then wanted to stop at the Kemper Center first. So I drove by at about 6 o'clock, and I couldn't believe the crowd at 6 o'clock. Went to the Kemper Center, went to dinner, came back, and I pulled the parks guys were there still at 10. The event closed at 8. But our new foreman out there on the west end was out there. He was there until 10:30. But the work that they put in, that's what everybody's paid. Everybody gets a wage. But there's special work that goes in on these things because you're paid a certain wage. Matt was out there, and he's got a family, and he's got things to do where he lives. And the community things that we do, and this Oktoberfest was a huge success. I've never seen it that busy. And it was just jammed, and everybody was happy, and it was a cloudy, cool, windy day, but people were having a ball. So that's the first thing I wanted to come and thank Matt and his staff for that. When I stopped at Kemper Center that evening, we have all talked long and hard about what's going on with our lakeshore, and I saw firsthand Saturday evening some of the biggest waves that we've had this summer popping in there. And what they were doing at the art building and at Kemper, it was just wild. Just wild. The raining in, and where we've already fixed the walkway temporarily and things. And I just had horrible thoughts about that young man that jumped in the water and seeing the waves and everything going on there. The power of Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, all the Great Lakes is immense. And so we've got to, when we tell people, you know, we're talking millions of dollars to work on that lakefront, it's not far-fetched when you see what's going on there. Last thing I have is I've had an item I've been working on for a couple of years actually now. There's a nonprofit called Team Rubicon. Maybe some of our veterans have heard of this. They were formed by a group of veterans right around the time the hurricanes came into Haiti and the Dominican Republic, just before that. They were one of the only people, or they were the only people that would go into the poor neighborhoods and that would go into areas where other nonprofits and Red Cross and things would not go. So they became a mainstay in disaster relief. And you can look them up after I tell you this little story, Team Rubicon. Not long after that time, one of the founders, it was a Marine and a Navy veteran, I believe, that founded the organization. And it was initially, I believe, 10 of them that went into to Haiti and worked during that time. It became a nationwide group, more veterans, more people joining. One of the founders committed suicide from PTSD, and their focus didn't change totally, but their focus went from total disaster relief to finding ways to help returning veterans with employment, one thing, and with mental health issues and things. So I was contacted 2 years ago when we had our flooding here in Kenosha County. Team Rubicon wanted to set up here in Kenosha County. Unfortunately, at that time, our sheriff's department, everybody was, you know, going in many directions. Everybody was helping, but we couldn't find a spot for them. But Johnsburg, Illinois, we were able to locate them there, and they did help. So the reason I was contacted is my son does all the PR and work for Case in Racine County. All their advertising and PR and advertising and their television, everything they do. And they are a big contributor to this Team Rubicon. So they contacted us again this year. I said, is there anything that you would like to do? You need any earth moved. If you know what J.I. Case does, they produce farm equipment, excavating equipment, construction equipment, dozers, caterpillars, scrapers, all these things. Do you need any earth moved was the question. And I said, yeah, we need earth moved, for sure. So one of the big projects we've been working on for years is the Katy Park. We don't need earth moved to too many other places, and they want to do something that'll benefit the community. A park is a perfect thing. It's very good for J.I. Case, it's very good for Team Rubicon, it's very good for the community. And I talked to Ray and Matt about this and the county executive, and they said, yeah, of course we did. And I know we did it, but we've got preliminary plans for many things out of the Katy Park, on the, especially on the 100 acres that we acquired only 3 or 4 years ago. So we had to do some engineering and some figuring, but you know, that's expensive also. So we were a little bit on hold. Matt and I met, our engineers met in-house people. And we came up with certainly enough. What they like is to bring in returning veterans looking for work, looking to have a union card, operating engineers, that type of thing. And J.I. Case provides the equipment. Team Rubicon provides the licensed engineers and people to help train them. But they need somewhere for these men to work. And it's good for, like I said, for them. They get their cards. J.I. Case gets the PR. Kenosha County gets this earth move. So tonight, coming into Paddock Lake, I got the phone call, and they said it's a go. The only problem is, Hurricane's coming into Carolina. Team Rubicon's going there. I mean, if you look them up when you leave here, believe me, it's a beautiful story. Team Rubicon. Remember the name and just Gmail them or whatever you do. Google, I mean, and see what they do. But they are committed now to us. We're committed to them because it'll be twofold, helping returning veterans get their training, moving earth that we need done, not final grading and things, but Acadie, the property out there, we have some real rough grading. It's an old gravel pit. Lot of restoration to be done. What they require is about a week and a half, 2 weeks for these people, somewhere for them to be. And we have the facility. They set up their own outdoor tents. They like an indoor facility. We have the washrooms there. We have the showers. And the commitment now is for possibly this fall. But if it's not this fall, it can be spring. Gives us Kenosha County time to do our engineering. But that was the biggest, and I'm sorry I went so long here, but it's been a couple of years we've been talking and working on this, and just 4 miles down the road, I got the phone call tonight, so I want to let everybody know what was cooking, and it's a beautiful thing for the county parks, for the community, and for this Team Rubicon. The returning veterans. That's all I have. Any other committee members? President Arden?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Salem Lakes, Clement was out looking at this area as well. They talked about putting the no engine braking signs going into Wilmot on the, I guess the county has to get the permission from Salem Lakes to put them up if Salem Lakes wants them up or whatever it is. So I got an email, I think John also got it too, from Chairman Tesser asking to have that done. I'm not quite sure of the process, if they need to do an ordinance or just let you know or whatever, if you wanted to contact them. I'm not sure how that was, but I just got an email today from Chairman Tesser on that.
It's in Wilmot by the Hanson's
Actually be going into Wilmot from W. As well as I imagine.
So the ice cream set?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they come screaming through.
No engine braking? There's no engine braking there.
Oh yes, there is.
Where?
Well, asked to spend a night with the Hansons.
No, by the ice cream shop, or where's there?
Well, they live right on the corner, that the old Morris house. You know, not the old one. I mean, Morris used to live there. They
you understand what engine braking is?
Yeah, I understand
it's
what it is. They're engine braking in, yes.
And it's usually coming down a hill.
I understand that.
Hanson's is in the middle of town between two stops.
But the Hansons live on a house before the stop sign.
Where?
And the engine, I told you, straight north. Go straight north on W, go to the, okay, you know where Riverside is, Saloon, whatever that's there. One block north, but on the corner of W and that, I forget, it's not C, it's whatever, that 116th or whatever it is. That's
north of Hanson's.
North of Hanson's, north of the stop sign.
On W?
On the east side of W, yes. They're the very last house, but there's a large amount of open land between the corner and their house going north. So their engine braking coming back down through their, right past their house, and then going into Hanson's, past Hanson's, are engine braking at that stop sign too. So,
that would normally be something that Clement would have to do a study of. But every road you've talked about is flat, and there can't be engine braking in the middle of Wilmot.
No, you're wrong. It's coming from Wilmot down. There's a whole hill that comes all the way down.
You know where north is in Wilmot?
I'm sorry, south. I'm sorry,
that's
south.
That's what
right.
I was going to say. I think that's a throw in the conversation.
Yeah. Flat ass south. All the way to hell.
Yeah. Right, yeah. South. South. South towards Illinois. My mistake.
You're on
right.
W?
On W, yeah.
So they live near Wilmot Mountain somewhere?
Yeah, they're between Wilmot Mountain and Hanson's.
Okay.
So, and they own Hanson's. And from what I understand, there's one particular company that all the sheriff says was get it on video, get some whatever you can, and we'll get tickets out to them, because they were told they weren't supposed to do that. They were specifically told by the county not to do it, and this company keeps doing it. But there are others that are doing it as well, going through there. And there's a load of gravel trucks going through there, so.
Sure. Well, Clement knows what he was doing.
Yeah. Clement was down there with us. We spoke about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, as Salem Lakes has asked to go forward with that, I don't know what the process is, but I told them I'd bring it up today.
Yeah, typically those engine brake signs are done by the local municipalities.
Okay.
And so the county can only support them by issuing permits. All they need to do is to identify the locations where they want to install the signs, and then they will apply for a right-of-way permit, because they'll be installing it in our right-of-way. And if one day they request, they put in the permit application, we review them and approve them, they install it and they enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the sheriff doesn't enforce those signs. So it would be the local municipality.
Which is the sheriff.
In this case, it is the sheriff.
Oh, it's the sheriff. Okay. So, yes, then the sheriff would enforce it. But it's also a very tricky sign to enforce. So,
right.
Yeah, they'll have to be there when they're doing the breaking sign and then enforce it. So, but the county would definitely support the local municipality by issuing when they apply for the right-of-way applications.
Okay. So tell them to get the locations, get the permit, and then they install them.
They get a layout map showing us where the signs are, and then we have it on our website, right-of-way or utility permits. They just fill the application and then send it to us.
Okay.
We build it, and then we approve it. We send it back to them.
Sounds good.
Any other committee member has a response?
Good looking shirt there, Clement.
Said
go Pat, go. That's a good looking shirt. And Matt.
I did it on purpose.
Yes. I don't blame you one bit.
I don't think he's taking it off since Friday.
An outstanding shirt. We run Oktoberfest in September, probably because October's got dicey weather, right?
It's the weather.
So,
no, it's not the weather.
It just seems to be, and I was out of town, like, I couldn't attend, but I always hear good things about it. Have we ever thought about changing it to Septemberfest?
It's traditionally speaking, it's a German word.
Fest in September.
It's a German word that has nothing to do with the months of the year.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it actually
the brewing season, right?
Yeah, way back in Munich. There's a big history between.
It starts in September.
Yeah, it always started in September in Munich, and it basically poured over to the United States. But there's a huge history, over 100 years that this has been going on. So it's finally made its way to Kenosha County.
Thank you.
So if any of you are interested, you were out of town in September. Kemper's Oktoberfest is coming up, I believe in 2 weeks. And the fall festival at Pringle is coming up when?
Next week.
This coming
week.
And that's always a real nice event. It'd be great to see some committee members out there, county board people out there, because there's two good nonprofits that do a lot for the county.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from anybody? If not, yes, sir.
Would we be willing to look into organizing like a Cinco de Mayo type celebration in that same park area?
What we do is we usually are the property owners. We always invite the community to organize these types of events. Just like Supervisor Elverman said, the Oktoberfest event that's run, that's been organized by an actual bona fide not-for-profit organization. Kemper Center is a not-for-profit, so we're always more than happy to partner with people to put on events and work with them to make it successful. So as long as you know of a community organization or yourself that wants to do Cinco de Mayo, we're all yours, all the time.
It's a party, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Chairman, I did have one other item, and it might be the reason why Mr. Grubb is here on Highway W.
No, this isn't the time for that. Okay.
Well, okay, and I'm just saying, I was bringing it up. I didn't know he was going to be coming here today. I was going to be bringing up the Highway W detour. That's all, and I believe that's why he might be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be me, right?
Hmm?
The Highway W detour?
Right.
We're going to get it. The supervisor's comments. we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So if not, we'll move into citizens' comments. And that's why Mr. Grubb is here. And citizens' comments, you will have 5 minutes to speak. And the only thing we ask is that you give your name and address. Anytime you're ready. You want to come and sit up here, you can do that, please.
My name's Ken Grubb. I live on 312th Avenue, County FR. And I've complained to a couple county supervisors about the intersection of F and FR. Traffic going, I guess it would be east on FR. When you're sitting on FR, you've got that big hill, and you can't see anybody coming over there. And so it's like a crapshoot when you pull out of there to make a left turn. Yesterday, my daughter, my grandson, and I were going to Wilmot in the morning, and now that all that traffic, instead of going, I wish they would have sent them down JI, but they're sending them down FR on the detour. We pulled out of the driveway, some guy was right on her butt. We got down to the intersection, and he was just nudging. I thought he was beeping at her, but I called her and said no. But just pushing. We finally pulled out onto F. He was right behind us, one around us, and then jammed the brakes on a brake checker. There's a car coming over that hill by now. There's a car coming from the other direction, and we're playing these games. I doubt anybody's going to do anything about rerouting people to JI like they did last year. But now this year, that for some reason, the decision was made to send them down FR. There's a lot of driveways at the bottom of hills. You can't see until you pull out, basically, anybody coming. Again, that's a kind of a crapshoot when you pull out there. The guy across the street from me, he backs out. I'm fortunate I can pull out. Again, I doubt anybody's going to do anything right now about this detour, but I want to know if anybody's doing anything about Highway F and that hill. I've been out there for 14 years. I've just recently now, just because I know Mark a little bit, so I've been talking to him about it, and I don't, you know, maybe that Rubicon team can come out there and knock that hill down. I don't know, but that hill is dangerous. When I leave in the morning, I roll the window down, I listen for traffic. It's not as bad when the sun goes down and it isn't coming up in the morning. I can kind of watch for lights, but even that's not always 100% guaranteed. It's a bad, bad intersection. And I just want to know if anybody's going to do anything about it.
Well, I've been there for 65 years, right there. Our family farm was just to the south, just past that intersection, and I still have the 20 acres at F&W. And then I farmed for Paul Swartz on FR, and we talked on the weekend in the bakery in Twin Lake. And what we used to do is come out on a tractor and have to take a left-hand turn, and we'd come down the other lane for a while before it was safe to
pop
over. But that hill has been there, as I said, I've been there 65, and that hill has been the same, and it was probably the same for the 100 years before that, so there's really no way to take that hill down. So it would be up to our highway commissioner. I'm certain that no one would want to have a stop sign on Highway F.
No.
So maybe Clement would have some thoughts on it, but just want to give my little history on it. It's been that way forever, and I don't think it's going to change.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You just explained the solution is to take away the hill. We can't take away that hill.
I understand can't take away the hill, but
the only thing we can do would be look at other, we've looked at it several times and looking at possible ways to improve the safety at the intersection. But whatever you do, it has little impact to improve the safety, or it doesn't really do anything. Even if you put a stop sign, by the time you get to the stop sign, somebody's going east, and they're just coming from the hill and it's going down, you already stop and you're already getting to the intersection. It's a challenge.
Maybe a light like they've got on on W when you get to 50, warning people that there's traffic coming out there.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be a light, some flashing lights or something.
Right.
Yeah. I know there's a subdivision in Illinois, and I don't remember what road it's on, Cedar Lake Road, I think. They've got mirrors. They got those big mirrors out there, you know, pointed just right. Maybe you can see somebody. I mean, there's got to be a solution. I know you're not going to take the hill down.
Right.
I understand that.
No, it's been hell forever there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think now there's more population, so it's obviously going to have more effect.
Yes, right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Clement, we'll sit down and we'll take a look at it. There's some technologies that maybe weren't available a few years ago that might help with that. And I think we can also look at, I think this planned closure on W, we'll see. Right now it's, if things go well, the weather looks good, it might only be 2 weeks that it's fully closed, but let's take another look at that to see, Clement, if there is value in moving that from FR to putting it at JI, because whoever's traveling, it won't be any difference to whoever's traveling, but it could be a better alternative to what we got right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put signs that says FR, you know, it's obviously a through street, but suggest that it's not a through street. I don't know.
It's very narrow. It's very narrow. It's hilly.
There's, and there's actually, quite a few, as you get closer to F, there's a lot of driveways at the bottom of the hills down there. I'm one of them. And then Muzzy, like you said, he's even closer to that crest.
Yep.
It's even harder for them to come out of there.
Just to add, we'll take a look again, because we did take a look. I'll just give you the background why we came to FR. The detour route is really not for the locals, because the locals know their way around. They will always find a way around. The detour route is for those who are just driving through. So if you detour somebody that is coming from maybe Illinois for the first time, you're looking for the shortest possible way. So that was how we came to that. If you take him to JI, or sometimes the curves might get confused. So, yeah, we can take a we'll also take a look again. We'll look into it.
I'd rather get confused than somebody get killed.
We'll take a look again and then see.
You do have the Sunday flea market down there, so I imagine there's a lot of people who maybe aren't as familiar as the locals are in the area. So that's the route that they're going to take back to 50.
Yeah, we'll take a look and see how we can improve it.
So will somebody get in touch with me and let me know?
Sure.
I mean, how does that work? Yeah. I know somebody was supposed to get in touch with me and come and see me about, you know, my concerns. I was told that somebody was going to check on, you know, with the neighbors, and I've never seen anybody yet. And I was told there was going to be extra law enforcement down there, but I haven't seen that yet either. So maybe putting a cop down there once in a while might help to, you guys can work that out.
Meet you after the meeting so that I can get your contacts, and then I can reach you.
Yeah, can I give all, well, Mark's got all, can I give it, get it all to Mark?
Sure.
And he can get it to you,
I'm gonna write down your information.
Okay, is that, we're good now?
Yeah.
Very good, and thanks for your input on it. So if there's no other citizen comments, which I see no one, we'll move on to the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing that we have that you might remember from last month, and I apologize that we did not do the official document paperwork properly this last month, but we did a verbal, and it was a unanimous vote, to have Supervisor Monica Juhas appointed to the Pringle Nature Center Board. So Wendy has the formal resolution that was included, I think, with your packets as well. So we're just looking for one official vote that we can take to the county board for to make her appointed to the Pringle Nature Center.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
So, I'm sorry, I was a little distracted.
So we're looking for one more vote to send Supervisor Monica Juhas to be appointed to the Pringle Nature Center board.
The resolution here?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So what we have is a representative from this committee, or not necessarily always from this committee, but on our nonprofits, and one of them is Pringle Nature Center. To Rhonda Ulasses volunteered her time, and I think we went through this before, but we didn't have the didn't have it set up at the county board level. So, so I would ask for someone to move and second.
Sorry, we moved in second. Didn't speak up for you.
Okay. Director Bull and Supervisor Dardigan. Move a second to approve. All those in favor of the governor? Committee?
Aye.
So we're good to go now. You can make the next meeting.
I already attended one.
Well, illegally.
Under false pretenses?
I took no action. I was just there.
They don't have cameras over there. But again, thank you, Monica, for doing it. I know I'm on the library board. And it's, I mean, sometimes you go, oh, geez, you know, I got a meeting tonight. But it's wonderful that you did. Okay, Matt.
Okay, so for the status reports, several items on there. The first one being the Bristol Woods Parkway development, just making the committee aware that we have an agreement with Strand and Associates, a design and engineering firm, to work on the engineering documents with the anticipation of actually completing construction in 2019 for the Bristol Woods Parkway. Anyone that goes to the Pringle Fun Fest this coming Saturday, we'll definitely see the condition of that parkway. And the last time it was done, I think I was 3 years old. So it definitely needs to be done. And we're just trying to be more competitive with our bidding process. So by doing all the engineering this year, we can get that out once or if approved by the county board to get that done sooner than later in the first quarter of 2019. Boundless Adventures, another update on the aerial adventure park over at Bristol Woods Park. And the agreement got signed actually officially this month, so we have a full agreement with Boundless Adventures. They will be getting design and survey work. They'll be actually back at Bristol Woods Park on the 24th of this month to truly spec out the area, see which trees will and will not work. They're going to work with a third-party arborist to make sure everything is done properly and safe. And once that's done, they're going to be starting construction over this late fall, going through winter with anticipation of opening by Memorial Day of 2019. So that project and partnership is well underway. Over at KD Park, also another project that was half funded with stewardship through the state as well as county funds for phase two development. Construction's underway with the boat launch, boarding pier, multi-use dock, trailer parking, ADA ramp, and that should be done. They're, like I said, they're moving forward, but they had to wait for some stuff to come in, so instead of the end of September, they're looking at that first week of October to be substantially complete with that project. As for the Fox River Park, we had our grand opening ceremony this last month on the August 23rd. So now the Overnight Lodge is officially open to scout groups. I just got off the phone with another scout group that has shown interest. So we had one group in there already just to do their monthly meetings. We have a quilting group. I said, as long as you're a not-for-profit organization, come in there and you can utilize that space. But it's kind of nice to hear even from this quilting group. They make hats for preemies. They do stuff for their police squads. But instead of using their own houses and things like that, they got something on the western side of Kenosha County that they can utilize that facility that otherwise wasn't available. So that's turned out to be a huge success for us and the community.
Do they quilt overnight?
That I told them that they should get some blankets for the scout group.
I would just quilt 24.
Oh, for them? Like, yeah.
Quilt crank and all.
Hey, that machine is a lot more robust.
Yeah.
Except to get all over the yarn.
I'll mention to that the ladies. Pike River restoration for that phase one. If you've been down there, you'll see substantial changes. We are starting on the grading work, so we're basically working with a contractor, but they have a subcontractor called CK Construction, and they're working from the north of County Highway A going southbound. So they want to work succinctly and make sure that if, heaven forbid, there is any storm events, they can try with that head pressure to settle that down and protect our assets. And I was down on the project site today, and they were definitely full steam ahead. They had two skid steers and an excavator working on the rock till, just trying to regrade the banks and then put the rock till protection in some spots. As far as the general contractor, just to be open and transparent, they've been extremely difficult, and I don't know how else to say that with this project, that we should have been done by the end of September with our project agreement. For whatever reason, there's been delays. They said it's weather. There's nothing as far as weather. It's been beautiful construction season. So we've been just trying to push them and hold their hand whenever appropriate, but still make them accountable. And it's just been not the best working conditions between the contractors and the county. We still feel confident that this project's gonna get done. It's just later than expected. And we're gonna continue to strive for that quality project that we got into. It's just getting that contractor on the same page.
Why are they slow walking?
There could be variables. I hate to speculate, but as far as the grading work, they didn't have a grading contractor signed up until 2 weeks ago. When you go out to bid with something, usually you know who your subcontractors are. Maybe they anticipated doing that internally, and then when they actually dived into the bid or the actual construction document, it was beyond their capabilities. But for whatever reason, they weren't bringing the right subcontractors or their own team to the table, and that's created substantial delays.
What a lot of people don't realize, and I've been in construction for 47 years, since 2006 and 7, we've lost a lot of people that used to be contractors. And we're starting to, and I've commented and I've reported to the county board for years about this, especially the last 3 years, we're starting to see our bids. Ray and I talk about this all the time, and everything else. There are not enough people. People have gone into other things. Many bankruptcies, many companies just gave up. So we're having this on this job, and in a small way, we're having it at our boat launch thing at the Katy Park, because that group has done wonderful work so far, but they also, and it's not that you know this unless you're in the dough or watch, but they also got a bunch of work from the Foxconn thing. So all of a sudden, if you don't see a crew at your job, you go, oh boy.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on, because there just isn't enough. When 30 years ago, if I wanted a grading contract, and I used to run a much bigger company than I do now, I had my hand pick of 5 or 6 contractors. Right now, in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, if I want a grading contractor, it's horrible. It's horrible. And so, this is something that Ray works on constantly. Matt worked, and every bid, and I know I've reported on it for the last couple of years on the county board floor, it's very difficult. So you get somebody, and I'm asked having to babysit this guy. They tore this stuff out weeks ago, and it's sitting there. Yeah. So that's my blunt explanation of it. Matt has to be more political about it, I can tell you.
Trying to. So I'm sure we'll continue to give updates, but we're just happy that the earth is moving. We're putting rock into place, so we're thankful for that. At least it's not at a standstill. So moving on to some PETS projects, I mentioned this Wi-Fi and security camera project several months ago, but we're well underway that the fiber for Wi-Fi is up and operational. If you actually go to Petrifying Springs Park, and it's a pretty big spectrum from each one of the pavilions where we have the Wi-Fi hub, but I would say if you're on the parkway, 90% of that parkway from end to end of the park, you get a Wi-Fi signal. So a lot of our open spaces in between pavilions even, you have free Wi-Fi access. And with that, the other bonus is the security portion of that. So those cameras are up and operational, and we'll be monitoring those as needed. Other than that, we put through the resolution for the Schaefer property acquisition. That was the last piece of property to make sure that we have all of Petrifying Springs Park owned and operated and maintained by the county. That property closing is set for the 14th of this month for us to actually have that property. So then we'll get into the nitty-gritties about how to remove that house from the property shortly after. As far as the summer youth employment program, I gave kind of a little rundown as far as what that is in the beginning of the season, but that did come to an end this last month. I don't want to go into each one of those bullet points, but it speaks for itself that this was a great group of youth on both sides at Pets Park and also at KD. On the KD, one high point is I talked about the KD Phase 2 parking lot development next to the dam. We originally had in our project scope that we were going to have that parking lot be gravel, and there was no money to actually get that thing paved and have asphalt up there. And I talked to our engineering department. I said, well, how can we get it done? Because it doesn't make much sense just to leave it gravel. It's going to be a maintenance nightmare. And we originally had clearing and grubbing in this pretty big footprint of a parking lot area. That was the number one goal for our at-risk youth, the summer youth employees, is to take care of the clearing and grubbing. And by saving on those costs, we were able to put that asphalt into the bid and get that as part of the project. So these aren't just busy jobs for the youth. They're actually saving tax dollars, and we're able to get these projects enhanced by the work they do. So we really put a lot of thought, even in the off season, by getting the right necessary tools, equipment, and projects lined up that they can see it firsthand from the youth side that they take pride in it. But on our side of things, it's saving on our staff time and labor, and which equals money. So it was huge on both sides of the spectrum for that one. So other than that, Chairman Ellerman, he mentioned our success with a lot of special events with Oktoberfest. Before then, we had Picnic in the Park that we had about 8,000 people attend that event, where we had live music and entertainment from noon till 8 o'clock, followed by fireworks. And again, I'm not going to go through all these bullets, but next weekend's going to be extremely busy for our park staff. That if you're looking for something to do, it's on that back page of my report. As far as Pike River cleanup, we really appreciate the help and support from the Kenosha Sports Fishing. They go through the whole entire Pike River area, just pulling tires, debris. That's an unfortunate situation with the Pike, but every year they not only pick up all the garbage and debris, but remove large dams that form with the amount of actual limbs that get caught up, which create flooding issues for residents and neighbors. Another one to note is Wilmot Mountain through the Vail Resorts. This is their second year where they bring in close to 100 volunteers before they start their season. And their last year was extremely successful at Fox River Park. This year we're at Silver Lake Park, where again, we line up, we strategize, we prioritize, and we make sure that we're successful for that four-hour block, that they're doing value-added projects for our parks. So again, they're looking at 100 volunteers over at Silver Lake Park this weekend. Other than that, yeah, we're going to be busy from here on out till the end of the year with not only operational stuff, but special events too.
Thank you, Matt.
Just one quick question, because I have not been part of this before. Do we get copies of the agreements for the Boundless Adventures? Or just all the supervisors, do we get a copy of that, of the final agreement? I don't know. I'm just wondering. Is that
we were not here when we did the.
I understand that was a draft, so I don't know if that's the final.
I'd be more than happy to give it. It's a public document.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So if you're making that request,
just email. It's fine.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Ma'am, could you send
that
out to the entire board?
Just. Is that fine?
Sure.
Okay.
I can't even remember when we did this with that. When was it?
With Boundless Adventures, that agreement?
It was in July.
June it went to the Public Works, so we've been, and not much has changed since the draft, to be honest. Just, that's how long things unfortunately take.
Right. Well, I would urge everyone here to at least hit one of these events. The last year, the Vail Corporation and the Public Mountain, if you people were at Fox River Park. I went out there, and it's very nice for them to meet people from the county. If you could make it to Silver Lake Park, you know, you say a little thank you. I was there for the ribbon cutting for the Scout House, and they were out there, and they appreciated that I thanked them. And the Pringle thing also, they love to see somebody from the county board out there, and it's very close for most of you. So this is Saturday. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. So you got it, Matt? That's it?
That's it.
We'll move on to golf.
I'm going to take over for Dan tonight. Big thing is tomorrow is the Executive Cup Open. I don't know if a few of you are playing in that or not. I know in the years past a number of you have. It's always a good time. This year, I think, Jim, is there's north of 148 people now at last count, isn't there?
Yeah, right around there. It's full.
It's sure. Full up. It's gotten very popular and very successful. We've done a lot of, added a lot of features that have helped out with the youth programming out there, which is really the goal of the whole thing. The junior golf clinics, he just wrapped those up. Had 84 participants. They always finish the end of the season with kind of a parent-child golfing event and then a nice dinner afterwards. It sounded like that was really a good time when talking with Dan. The day after, so the 12th, this Wednesday, we're going to be starting the actual white birch bunker removal renovation project. I know they had their pre-construction, actually their pre-launch meeting today, this morning. They all met to go over the game plan, so they're going to hit it hard, and they plan on completing it, hopefully with the weather cooperating somewhat, before the 1st of November. And right now with the weather, although it was wet that last week in August, now that this weather's cooled off a bit, if I was out by Pets today. I haven't been out to Brightondale yet this week, but I will be tomorrow. The courses look really nice. Everything looks nice and fresh and in real good shape. They're starting to move into the fall season where they do aeration of greens and some of the other kind of closing it up, starting to get it closed up for the winter chemical applications and so forth. And everything's fairly solid in golf overall right now. That's kind of it.
And I'm sure they're going to have a good week this week. That looks good.
They should be able to make up some ground.
Looks great.
We're hoping September. Labor Day weekend was obviously I'm not going to say a complete bust. I was actually surprised he said that we played it over 250 rounds, which, given the weather on Labor Day weekend, was kind of, if it was a good weekend, he probably would have had about 1,000 rounds or north of there. But hopefully we'll have a decent September. And we've had two crappy Octobers the last 2 years, so I'm hoping we have a good one this year and we can finish 2 years strong. So that's good.
Thanks, Ray. So we'll move on to Mike.
Thank you.
Facilities.
Looking at the energy team status list, everything is red as new from last one. Two at the top are new projects. One at the safety building is upgrading jail dorm lights to LED. It's in pre-construction right now. We don't have a cost on it yet because we're still calculating it up, but I wanted to get it on the list. Second one is at the job center. It's to replace the boilers. I talked about that a little bit last month. That's also in pre-construction. $60,000 project. Replacing the chiller at the courthouse. We've got a tentative start date of November 5th. That's subject to change. Project cost has been reduced a little bit. We got some prevailing wage in there that we got taken out that shouldn't have been in there, bringing it down to $564,000. The completed list, the lower portion of that, is the project to replace the LED conversion for KCDC. That's been completed as of August 10th. We did that in-house with our electrician. It's kind of a summer-long project. So that one's done, and that pretty much completes the outside light. So you'll notice we're starting to focus on inside lights now with the safety building with the dorms. We've got another project inside at KCAB to replace the lights in there. We're working on it tentatively right now, hoping to get that done by the end of the year. So that's this list. Moving on to ongoing projects. Again, the courthouse chiller replacement. Project had a pre-construction meeting on the 7th of September. We're hoping to get solid dates, but we're still waiting for submittals to get processed and finding out when Train can supply a date for delivery on the chiller. Toll it's 8 to 10 weeks out, so it's pushing those dates a little bit. That's a project that'll happen over the course of winter, not end at the beginning of this year like we had thought. Second project is the groove coupling replacement project. That started pretty much Monday. They were gearing up on the 4th. I actually started working this morning draining the system. I had a bunch of guys there. We had one who had a background check and we had to turn him away. So we're watching that real close. I believe they had 5 guys there, so 4 ended up staying and they got quite a bit done today. So draining the system will continue on through the night. Next project is the boiler replacement at the job center. Actually, a pre-bid meeting tomorrow, so we'll learn a lot more about what's going to happen with that at that point. Last project is a new one. Well, I guess it is a new one. It's at KCDC replacing the automatic transfer switches for the two generators. It's a project that needs to be done because the switches are obsolete. So if we ever have them go down, we can't really get parts for them. So that being a 24/7 building, we can't afford to have that happen. So this project replaces those 4 ATSs. We thought it would come in at around $53,000, but we ended up getting just one bid, and that's for $70,000, so about $17,000 more. So we're asking for some fund shifting a little bit, and Jim will have a letter that explains that.
Yeah, you should have a letter to finance in your packet. And in situations like this, if we have to repurpose money, we have to go to the finance committee. If the expenditures are all, the various projects are all within the same appropriation level, and all these projects of this ilk are within facilities division, so all we need is approval of the finance committee to move the money. We don't have to go to the county board, but we always come to this committee first to let you know what's going on. Some of you, as anyone, I don't know if anyone's on the finance committee here. But anyway, we'll be repurposing, we'll be using $17,000 that was left over from other finished completed projects. We'll transfer it so we can replace these switches. So this will go to finance their next meeting. I think it's next Thursday. Well, I just wanted to add one thing to Mike. I think maybe I didn't mention it last time, but there's a possibility of getting some type of a grant or funding for the courthouse chiller, a partial. So we're hoping to get something back to that. Yes. So.
Do we need a motion for this?
No.
Mr. Sikulski?
Where are we, the repurposing, what are we repurposing from?
Let's see. We did fire alarm panels at several locations. And this year we've done 3 of them, and last year we did a couple other ones. All of our major buildings now have brand new fire panels, so we had some money left over in that budget. So we have 2 choices at the end of the year, and we have those. We could just return it, or we can use it for other projects. So we're going to use it for other projects.
And I just want to add to that point. So the detention center, given the number of federal prisoners that we house there, and I don't pretend to know all the information, but I know that there's a lot of criteria that they get audited on regularly to make sure everything from diets to the facilities themselves are maintained to certain levels. And if they get audited more than once a year by ICE, and if they get dinged on those things, it affects their ability to be. So this is one of those things, like, we just can't have an event where we lose power, primary power.
Yeah,
and so that's why this was, we had to figure out a way to get it done. So that's,
yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. You gotta have power out there. ICE for public safety.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope. Thank you.
All right, good. We are going to move on to Frank's report.
Frank vacationing in the south of Italy. Actually, he took his parents back there to visit some family.
Where?
In Italy, southern Italy.
because his, it's probably the last time his parents are going to be able to do it, so he was,
he's there right now.
He volunteered to
take him. Oh, no, he's in Israel now. Sorry, he's from Italy to Israel today.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So in any event, I'm covering his report tonight. That, again, was in your packets. The safety building roof and pretrial roof, both those are complete. There are a couple of tiny punch list items, but they're really, I'm going to say, inconsequential, that are going to be taken care of. Project came in, when all said, we've done $200,000 under budget. That was, again, one of those projects. We were fortunate enough to get out on the street early, like very early in the year, and we had, I think there was 9 roofers that showed up for that. That is the key. Roofing is the one area where we haven't gotten hammered yet from a bidding standpoint. Electrical, plumbing, HVAC, and excavation, those are all areas that we're really, really seeing high prices and low volume of number of bidders. Roofing is one of the areas we fortunately are still getting good competitive bids. Anderson Arts Center preservation project, the bid release was released on the 30th. We had the pre-bid walkthrough last Tuesday. I went down for that. Had a good turnout of contractors. Bids are due back the 20th, and then if all goes as planned, we'd start construction early in 19. Just a reminder, the only things that are really being worked on there are going to be the building exterior, roof. There was 4 pre-qualified roof contractors for that. That one, we had to pre-qualify given the nature of what that roof is. So we had 4 of them alone. We had, I think, 3 or 4 electrical people, 3 or 4 plumbers. Hopefully we will get some good solid bids on that. But it's basically the exterior shell that's going to be done. HVAC is going to be added. And it looks like, but we'll see when the bids come in, that geothermal will be the more cost-effective way to go.
Run out to the lake?
We're not going into the lake, because that would involve the DNR. That was discussed. But we will be able to drill a number of, I believe, 300-foot deep pits in the backyard, basically where they have their Jazz in the Park event there. And the operating costs and maintenance costs are incredibly low relative to conventional approach. But the thing that made this, at least in the estimates, appear to be the way to go is that we won't have to upgrade the electrical system to accommodate the big monster rooftop units that building would require otherwise. So it actually was about a $50,000 or $70,000 save on the electrical service upgrade by going to geothermal. So we'll see what happens, because we've got both in there as options, but we're guessing right now that the geothermal is going to be the one that's going to be more cost effective. That's the Anderson Arts Center. Branch 1 courtroom renovation, that is Judge Bastinelli. I think they have all got everything agreed upon. The drawing review they had on August 14th. They're targeting having bid level documents ready the 21st and construction to start early November. We'll see. As the members that were on the committee last year remember, we did have a decent number of bidders for that. We had some real interesting situations. We had a real low bid from somebody that basically we ended up losing about 3 months' time in working through that low bid situation, and then ultimately that guy backed out at the last minute, and that was the first time we collected on a bid bond. Hopefully we won't go through that experience this time, but you never know when you put these things out to bid. We'll find out soon enough. Those are the projects that Frank's got going on right now.
Any questions? Yes.
Any reason or any idea how we came in $200,000 below bid on the roof if the bids, you know, were submitted?
Yeah, the biggest thing, there's 2 things that are helping us. One is that when we've gone out on all our roofing projects, our major roofing projects, we usually get the bids out in January. We do the specs. We're actually doing some specs right now for another potential project next year. We're doing the spec development now so we can get the bids out in January. Typically, those portfolios for those guys are pretty empty at that point. Sometimes the schools have their stuff on the street, but the school stuff doesn't start till June when the kids are out. So if they can get some stuff in their portfolios prior to the school, which pretty much all our projects have been done prior to June 1st, it's a good time. So we've gotten, 2 years ago we had, I think, 13 bidders for this roof, And we had, I think, 9 this year for the PSB. And so that's been the biggest thing, is from a timing standpoint. I can't explain, though, why we're still able to get, I'm hoping this year we'll still get 9-10 bidders for this thing. This will probably be the year where we find out.
So the bid that was accepted was, let's just say, $500,000. I'm not saying that's what it was. And they then finished the job at $300,000. Is that what you're saying?
So what Frank's got in there, that's $200,000 under what the original estimate was. So when the bid came in, off the top of my head, and I don't know if you know, Mike, but I want to say it probably was $400,000. It's like $400,000 and change, or just under $400,000, I think it was. I can get you the exact number. But in any event, the only tweaks that they had to do, there was 2 minor issues, some flashing, and there was one other issue that they had to deal with. It added about $20,000 in change orders, but it still ended up, when all was said and done, when the project was complete, it was still $200,000 under the original estimate for those 2 roof projects by our roof engineers.
And so did we, because this would be a bonding project, obviously, because of the life expectancy of it. Do you know if we bond to the original estimate?
Yeah. Or I don't know. We budget to the original estimate.
We don't go out necessarily.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't necessarily go out and bond the budget. We look to see what the actual project is going to cost, and then bond that way. We only borrow what we need.
So I'm just trying to understand the process a little more clearly. Are we then waiting till the project, because in this case, right, was estimated at 4, came in at 2. Let's just use those numbers for simplicity. So we're bonding the 2, not the 4?
Yeah.
So we're bonding actually after the project's been completed?
Or in the middle of it, yeah.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
I defer to Mr. Guffer.
Yeah. We just completed last week an estimate of what we think we're going to spend on all the projects. I know I turn my numbers into central finance, and I go through our whole capital list and determine what the actual cost, either what we spent or what I actually think we're going to spend. And I think the numbers, I'm going to just, for both projects, was over $500,000. And it's, I think it was closer to $600,000, and we came in for the 2 of them.
Like 400.
Yeah, 400 yeah. something. So it was a couple $100,000 under.
Which is great. I love the fact that we're coming in at, you know, for a variety of reasons that you say. It's just that it seems like every year we're carrying money forward, and I don't like to sit and constantly be carrying money forward if we're not using it for the projects that we're stating we're going to use it for.
Yeah. No, there's laws against doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Arbitrage rules, and I'm not necessarily an expert on it, but you can't borrow money for one thing and spend it on something else.
Anything else, Ray?
Nope. That was it.
All right, then we'll move on to Clement.
So I'm going to say a couple things for Clement, just that there was kind of some confusion with, again, appointments. Lieutenant Dan Riley, when Wendy attempted to contact him on Friday and invite him to be here tonight, is when we found out that he's actually leaving the department. He took a job as assistant chief in Caledonia. So we had a scramble Friday afternoon to kind of remove him from the system, and the exec I know is working to get a replacement for him on the committee. And then for Patty Hall, it was a little different situation in that at the board meeting that got canceled for last week would have been when this referral would have gone to the county board, and then the chairman refers those 2 committees for action. But because that didn't take place, we can't officially act on this tonight either. So this will come back. It'll go to the county board on, what is it, the 18th?
18th.
Yeah, and then it'll come back to the committee in October, just following the rules of the process. So those are those 2 things. I just wanted to explain why we're kind of where we're at on that. And then I will turn it over to Clement.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 2 things that are sure will happen next month, you'll see that resolution. And Park has 1 estimate.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure. So the division, of course, everybody knows that last month there was some significant level of rain. And so it impacted our work, but we tried to maintain the same level of service to keep up with the work. Most of the major work that was scheduled usually is is culvert replacements. We're done with the culvert replacement. We completed them. And we're still on course on what we scheduled for this year. With also the rain, there will be also some drainage issues around the county, specifically on MB. We've dealt with the situation. Especially on MB, we talked to the resident and got the issues. The best mitigation measures put in place, we're going to do that. And then we're still working on some of the ones in Pleasant Prairie. The rain also kind of significantly delayed the fast because we kind of accelerated our paving program. But despite the rain, the delay, the crew completed 3.9 miles of paving on County Trunk Highway JB, from County Trunk Highway B to County Trunk Highway KD. As of the end of August, the county had paved about 9.7 miles. So we are about 4 miles shy from where we want to be, but we are shooting for 4.5 miles to be paved by the end of October, if the weather holds up. On state repair work, the county completed, county Duforelli completed the work on county State Trunk Highway 31, the concrete repair work that we were doing there, the various spot repairs. However, in the course of doing that, with the short heat period that we had, there was some blowout. So you still see the county crew working on some concrete repair work, but that is just because of the blowouts. It's not part of the Highway 31 concrete repair project. Other than that, we are also continuing with general maintenance work, which includes mowing, picking up of trash, shouldering, both county and state work. On county project, County Trunk Highway S project, we are inching towards the finish line, very slowly but surely. The draft environmental document was approved. That gives us the opportunity to schedule a public hearing, which will be taking place on the 20th of September. We usually request for public hearing, but because of the tight schedule that we have for this project, we decided to just schedule the hearing. So if we don't have any hearing, we'll still have some sort of public information meeting, discuss with people, and if anybody has any concern, can present them to us, it will be documented. If there are no issues, we are hoping that at some time After 2 weeks from that date, we'll be expecting the final environmental document to be approved, which is called the FONSI. And if that is done, then the concurrent use, which we've been which we've been working on for the past 2 years, will probably be approved, because they're waiting for that final environmental document to be approved, for the concurrent use to be approved. So, I believe it will be approved. Ray says he will believe it when he sees it. We're working towards that. And in order to keep the project on schedule, we requested for an early acquisition. Like all those properties that we are buying, the entire properties and relocating the families or businesses, we requested for an early acquisition, and it was approved by the department. And so we are in the process of doing that, and we have already closed on at least four properties. They've already been relocated. So as a matter of fact, I'll be getting two set of keys in a few days. So I'll be property owner, I'll be a real estate owner in a few days. And so that's how we keep the project going. Based on all the activities that are going on right now, I would say that we're still on schedule for 2020 construction. I don't know if there's any questions on that one. And then the next project, county project, is County Trunk Highway W Embankment Restoration Project, which is ongoing. I know that we've had some calls regarding the detour routes. After I explained it to some of the residents, they tend to understand and agree. We had questions from the bosses, drivers, and we explain to them, we tend to agree. It's just too narrow to create a way through the work zone. Anybody who has been, who has visited the work site, you see that it's impossible to drive through. So again, and then we, now we have also challenges with FR. We are going to look into it and then see the best way we can implement some mitigation measures. Based on the project is progressing well. As of this afternoon, I just drove there before coming to this meeting. They have done at least 30% completion in terms of driving the piles, because that's what takes forever. So I'm trying to encouraging them to complete the pile driving. If the pile driving is completed and they're working on the side, then maybe we can reduce the length of the detour routes, and that's what we'll be working on. But some of the things we are looking at, so that we reduce relieve the residents, and they can drive through and they'll get their stuff as much as they want, especially the bus drivers. But for now, it is not a safe work zone to allow bus driving to go through. And the other projects, in 2018 local road improvement projects, County Trunk Highway AH is completed, apart from one beacon light that we still have to install. It's in the process. Hopefully by next week it will be installed. It was just an additional request from the local municipality requesting that we should put a beacon light to warn people about a bus stop. We went there and investigated the situation. It's a curvy and hilly zone, and it's very apparent to know that there's a bus stop after the curve and on the hill. And so we concur with them that maybe a warning beacon so that people can redesign to be aware that there will be a bus sign. So we'll be installing that, and that will be the final thing that we put and we install in that project. And that project is, so technically speaking, the project is completed. It's about 4.7 miles of asphalt paving. County Trunk Highway EA, from County Trunk Highway E to KR. The project is about 2 miles. It has been completed, and so far no issues. And so I'll be processing their payments to make sure that the project is completed, and then we will ask for the reimbursement. County Trunk Highway E from EA to Term 1 is also completed. That's about 1 mile. And everybody who is familiar with the east side of the project, it was the county had paved from the interstate all the way to EA. But EA to Term 1 was not completed. So the reason why we did the project was just to complete that stretch and call it a day. I think it came out nice. So it's completed. So anybody who wants to take a look can also go there. And Foxconn and DOT related projects, we had some issues regarding truck traffic in Paris. And to be honest, I was somewhere in Canada enjoying the sun. And so Ray was on the ground, and Ray made it look so easy. People thought I was still here, but it was actually Ray. He did all the groundwork. And so we reviewed the area, worked with the department, and we've implemented some mitigation issues. It's working. We've not been receiving calls for the past week or two. Yeah. And so I would say that what we've put in place is working, but there's still some drivers who still drive through the prohibited areas, which is just simply west of I on A and E. Simply because the roads are 22 to 11 foot wide, very little or no shoulders, and they have these farm equipments that are wider than 11 foot, and there are people who live around that area. The residents are a little bit concerned about the trucks and the farm traffic and the families living in that area. So we came up with installing signs prohibiting Wisconsin traffic that goes to the west from using the roads. So we've seen at least 90% drop in the trucks using, but there one or two. And what we got from the sheriff's department is that those who usually use the road are just using their GPS, and then GPS take them that way, and then they take the cars. they were notified. And so on Thursday, we are going to recommend other measures that could be implemented to help those who are using GPS to kind of program those routes that they're supposed to be using to stay on 142, and maybe possibly do some redundancy in signing by signing those the 142 routes, so that when the truck drivers are driving, they could see that, oh, for me to go to the Foxconn area, I need to stay on this path. And so we'll work on that to improve that more. And hopefully it will reduce the traffic. And then lastly, I usually leave this here. You'll be seeing it here. These are the long-term closures on I-94 and some of the ramps closures that will be long-term. So I just put them there so that just in case you might need them to respond to constituents' questions, you'll be able to find them on this report.
Thank you. I hadn't had a chance to see AH until last week. I drove, that's just beautiful.
Thank you.
Very nice job. And W, naturally, I said my land runs right up to where they're working. I was down there Friday and Saturday, just a walk for 3 or 4 minutes. And Saturday, they were pounding. They get good weather here, they're going to make time.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, they were doing quite well, so. There's no other less troublesome way to divert traffic there. So there's only two or three driveways to the south, and the rest of the people, they all know their way around there. So what I believe our one citizen's comment tonight was a long term idea for what we do at FR. Thank you, Clement. We'll move on to Ray.
Yes, so, yes, Ray. Yeah, E came up great. Excellent job on E. The other question I had is, does your crew, is it responsible for I-94 maintenance, or does the state handle that? Do they ask you guys to do it?
It depends what type of maintenance.
And I'm just going off my memory a little bit. I can pay close attention. Just south of C, northbound lane, or northbound left lane, there are some substantial cracks in the concrete, mm-hmm. running traffic-wise, right? That, I'm thinking, boy, you leave those open like that for the winter, mm-hmm. it could become, it could really break it down. Now, it seems to me they didn't put that road bed in that, or that road in that long ago, I'm surprised. But I just noticed some, because I drive it a lot, in the northbound. I'll keep an eye out for some other stuff. Does that come to you, Clement?
Yes.
Okay, it does. All right.
Yes, it comes to us, and then what we do, we lay the information to the state.
Yeah.
And the state will evaluate it to determine how much involved that maintenance work is.
Yeah.
If it is something that the county can handle, they prefer to use the county because we are fast, we are always there, and we do a quality job and for a reasonable price. But if it is huge, because after a certain amount of, I think it's about $100,000, there is no way they can give it to the county. They have to contract it out.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then they will get a contractor to do it. And thank you for bringing it, because those are the kind of things they need. Because if we don't bring them up, like you notice, it can go for 10 years and they will never know. And if we don't notice too, it will be there, but they will take care of it if we know. So. Again, I just want to be sure about the location, and then I'll relay the information to the state.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll pay attention tomorrow.
Okay.
A little bit more, and then I'll send you an email.
Thank you.
It looks like something had been applied, but you know the voids are back.
Yes.
If they would, and it, you know, replacing concrete in that would be very difficult. But filling in those cracks, keep the water out of it, would be
correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Just to add to what, because having worked with the state and I was in charge of the I-94 corridor, if you notice the stretch between the state line and 142, that was just south of 142. That was the very first time when they started doing the I-90, the freeway reconstruction. Now, those were pilot projects, and because they were pilot projects, they were like guinea pigs. And so they were learning a lot from the mistakes. So unfortunately, that piece, they made some mistakes not only on the pavement, but also on the bridges. Because when I was there, I did some repairs on the bridges on Highway C. The walls were failing. And so those kind of information, the department will be very happy to get, because they would like to fix those problems.
So one other thing that I've noticed, and I've talked to somebody at WISDOT, I don't remember their name, and that was the approaches coming up to those bridge abutments. Certainly in the left lane, maybe even the middle lane, there seems to be a fairly substantial drop. And I can't tell you it's worse in the summer or the winter, but no way with the road at the age it is should be there. But it would be a significant, I'm really not even sure how you fix it, but it's only going to get worse. So I'll pay attention to that. I'll just pass it to you and you guys can do whatever, all right?
Right.
Because I drive that road a lot.
Sure.
Thanks.
Right. So, as you guys, committee can tell, there's still a large number of active projects in all the divisions as we head into fall. We're targeting completion of all of them. Hopefully the weather will cooperate, and I think we've got a good chance of getting everything wrapped up. Community stormwater issues continue to challenge our ability to focus on our core project, because there has been a number of Paris, Brighton to a lesser extent, but Pleasant Prairie. And it's amazing how much time those things can take, because to really address them and not just deal with the symptom, you really have to drill into it and kind of unbundle everything before you come up with any recommendation. Otherwise, you can do something that may look good on the surface but doesn't do anything to really help the situation. So we've done that. There were some issues that made it to the news on the Foxconn site too, as it relates to some erosion. I actually just got from Andy from Planning Development. There was formal responses by the village to a number of things that got, to me, in reading it, I didn't see it on the news, but it sounds like some stuff was taken somewhat out of context. But in any event, what I've learned is that there's a crew that Gilbane, that is the prime contractor on that site, they have, as soon as there is a storm event of a certain magnitude, they've got crews that are actually constantly driving around and monitoring everything that goes on from a stormwater standpoint. In addition to that, there's 24-hour-a-day drone surveillance of the entire site. All that site is being drone monitored all the time, day and night. So there's a lot of stuff that they put in place to keep an eye on stuff and respond to situations when they do occur. So that was reassuring. I just wanted to make the committee aware of that. Let's see, stormwater. Then public safety simulcast communications project. We had the RFPs due on August 30th. Evaluation team, actually, I spent the afternoon with the evaluation team on those. We got two responses. Both looked really high quality. One was from Baycom Motorola, and the other was from Gencom Harris, kind of the two largest manufacturers of public safety communications equipment. Had a good meeting this afternoon. We're going to call in both vendors for interviews, hopefully the week of 9/24, and hopefully shortly thereafter select somebody to do the project. Both, like I said, both looked really, really solid. Everybody was impressed with the RFPs that we got. Let's see. That build-out, if everything actually worked out, would occur over 19 and 20. Those are kind of the bigger things that I had made some notes on, so that's pretty much it from my perspective.
Yes,
I just wanted to remind everybody about the budget meeting times. Whenever you want me to talk about that,
go ahead.
Okay, October 1st is our next meeting of this May. That's a Monday. October 2nd, which is a Tuesday, the county executive hands out the budget books at the county board meeting. On Monday, October 15th, which is about 2 weeks later, we'll meet again here, and we will review as a committee the public works budget.
Right.
That's Monday the 15th. And between the time when the county executive hands out the budget and we meet, you can talk to Chris, you can talk to me, Ray and Dennis, we've all talked about the budget, so that's the time to get your questions answered. Hopefully we can we'll drop what we're doing and make sure that, so we don't take up a whole lot of time at our October 15th meeting. We try to get everything answered and we send it back out to the committee before that meeting. Then on October 24th at 6 o'clock, probably start about 6:10, is the finance committee meeting, where the finance committee will review our budget, public works budget. And that night after us, maybe about 7 o'clock, human services, same night. I don't know if anyone here is on human services committee, but that week is the heavy lifting done by the finance committee on everyone's budgets. And those are all downtown, all at kind of second floor in KCAP. And then I'm not so sure when the whole thing is finalized, the first week of November. But the key dates are the 2nd, when you get your budget, 15th, when we review here, and the 24th, when we do the finance.
I just want to ask Jim, on the 15th, when we do our budget review, do we usually bump that to 6 o'clock to give us, instead of 6:30? Do we usually do that? I can't remember.
We can.
Yeah. That way it gives, it gives a little extra cush for time.
What month is it?
That's October.
Yeah.
Okay. 23 years, Dennis. You remember?
Yeah. Oh, that's dark. I just think about daylight working and stuff. Yeah, it's 6 o'clock, but.
Okay.
Mark?
Yes. There's a finance committee meeting this Thursday, is there not?
Yeah.
It's every Thursday?
Not every Thursday.
No. There's one this Thursday, I think I saw.
Every month.
It could be second.
Yeah, because then there'll be a board meeting the following Tuesday, so that'd be right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Labor Day screwed us up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Okay. All right, got it.
And
if I'm
with that, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second by who? Everybody, you have all of the favor.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thanks, everybody.
Remember some of these events coming up.